Blessing. Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us begin this afternoon service, the singing of Psalter 84, the stanzas 1 and 2. I graciously will teach thee the way that thou shalt go, and with mine eye upon thee, my counsel make thee known. But be ye not unruly, or slow to understand. Be not perverse, but willing to heed my wise command. From Psalter 84, the stanzas 1 and 2.
Thank you.
The scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in Deuteronomy 32, verses 1 through 14. Let us read first the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We now read from Deuteronomy chapter 32, beginning at verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is He. They have corrupted themselves, their spot is not a spot of His children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not He thy Father that hath brought thee? Have He not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy Father, and He will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance, when He separated the sons of Adam, He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in a waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan and goats, with the fat of kidneys and of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let us try to ask the Lord's blessing upon our gathering. Almighty and eternal Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, it is in this afternoon hour that we may come together with the congregation within the walls of this thy house of prayer. Others may listen along by the way of the means. And Lord, then we ask Thee, if Thou wilt be in our midst, if Thou wilt give a blessing from on high. In all things we are so dependent upon Thee. in speaking, in listening. O wilt thou then give an hearing ear and an observing heart, and that our hearts may go out unto thee. Would not only be out of custom that we have come up to thy house of prayer, but that it also may be with an inner desire to hear thy word, to hear what thou hast to say unto us. O wilt thou then come with thy spirit, and may it be felt in the pulpit, or that thou would be near unto thy servant, but also be near in the midst of the congregation, because we need that same spirit. And that is that spirit what must lead us into the truth. And Lord, wilt thou not withhold it from us, but that it may be an hour in thy favor, and that we may say it at the end of this afternoon, it was good to be in thy house of prayer, for the Lord was there. Lord, thy servant, whom thou hast placed here, is not in the midst of the congregation in this day, but must serve the branch of Calgary, where he hopes to also to have the Lord's Supper in their midst, and that we may lay him together with the congregation, the branch in Calgary before thee. Wilt thou give what they need, or that it may be experienced, so that thou wilt be in their midst. Wilt thou give a blessing in the preaching of thy words, that will give a blessing in the administration of the Lord's Supper. O Lord, wilt thou then be a surprising God, and wilt thou make all things well, as thou only canst do. O also in that regard, he is so dependent upon thee. Lord, wilt thou give then, so in the midst of the congregation, much prayer, O that we may lay the needs of the congregation before thee. Think of all the temporal needs, those who mourn, widows and widowers, those who have lost one of their children, perhaps more, some who have lost brothers or sisters, have lost their parents, lost loved ones, and there have been many empty places. And Lord, wilt thou fill down those empty places with thyself? Wilt thou pour balm in those wounded souls? And wilt thou give them, that it also may drive them out unto thee, but also in the way they must go, often in loneliness? Or wilt thou then be a God ever near unto them? Think also of the sick and the afflicted ones. There are children who are in the hospital. Oh, that we may lay them before thee. They are so little. But thou hitherto thou hast made it well. And that we may ask thee, Lord, if thou also wilt care in the furtherance of their life. Or wilt thou spare, wilt thou protect, and wilt thou give that the means which are used, that it may be blessed, and that in due time they also may come home. Lord, remember also their parents. Thou knowest what that means for them when the child is in the hospital. Lord, wilt thou then give help and strength also in that regard, and in due time may then those families be united again, come home, and that they may experience also that it was good for them to have been, having been oppressed, because it has driven them out to the throne of grace. There are who are on the doctor's care. Oh, wilt thou remember them, and wilt thou strengthen them, and wilt thou bless the means which are used. And Lord, then our thoughts also go out to him who was in the hospital a few weeks ago, when we met with him in such a serious condition. And Lord, and hitherto thou hast made it so well. May he receive an acknowledging heart, and wilt thou remember him, together with his wife and children, and with all the blessings which thou hast bestowed upon them, that they may end in thee, would not testify against us in the day of days, but that it may lead to true conversion. O wilt thou then make all things well, as thou only canst do. Think of those who are lonely. Thou knowest the needs of each one individually. There are needs which we do not know of. Perhaps the consistory does not know of. But they are known by thee. Wilt thou then remember them? And wilt thou give in all those circumstances that they may find a place at thy throne of grace? But the greatest need which there is, or may we lay that before thee, because what we have mentioned is all temporal needs, but that spiritual need, may that be felt in this afternoon, and that we may lay that before thee. Lord, wilt thou watch over the congregation? Wilt thou convert what is unconverted? What thou hast wrought, when thou hast begun that new life in their hearts, wilt thou then give also the increase in the grace of God? And wilt thou then work that in their hearts, that they may also grow in grace? And Lord, thou knowest what is necessary to that end. Our Lord, wilt thou then give, that they may say with the psalmist, thou art fairer than the children of men, or that they may not only have heard of him through thy word. It's a blessing already. If thou wilt reveal thyself in thy word, O whom thou art, but that thou also wilt give, that the eyes may behold the King in his beauty, or that they may see a little of what he is in that office of prophet, priest, and king, or that they may be led also to that great mediator who came in the fullness of the time to bring that holy and righteous God and that sinful creature together. O Lord, wilt thou then give that we may be given by thy grace also to embrace that, because there is a people on earth, or they have perhaps seen it, and perhaps they are also sitting in our midst, or they are not a stranger, or that they have seen it from far, perhaps with a broken eye, but now to lay our arms around it, and it becomes so difficult. Our Lord, wilt thou then give that they may come a little closer to thee, draw them, then they will run after thee, convert them, then they shall be converted. And wilt thou then use thy word to that end in this afternoon? Remember at all the places where thy word will be preached. Help thy servants, help in the reading services, and wilt thou make thyself a great name. Wilt thou remember the mission field, also him. If thou givest it, soon he will be sent out also to work in the mission field. Wilt thou then be with him, his family, strengthen and uphold, and wilt thou prepare him for that task, and that he may experience thy help, thy nearness. Also those who may labor there, wilt thou give them what they need, the work what is done among the Jews, wilt thou bless it. Thou knowest the needs which there is. So in Israel, when they are attacked from different sizes, wilt thou then watch over them. Also these ways of oppression, may it also be used in thy hand, that they may acknowledge the Christ of the Scriptures. Wilt thou remember all the cares and the needs also in the school? Wilt thou help all those who labor in the school? Those who have received a place in the administration, as a teacher, or whatever the place may be, will thou watch over them, strengthen them, uphold them, give them faithfulness. Remember also the students, give them also faithfulness, or that they may see also the blessing, what they may have, that we may have our own Christian school. O Lord, wilt thou then be in the midst of the school, and wilt thou not forsake us, and wilt thou not leave us, but wilt thou then be a surprising God. O Lord, we ask thee much, and we have nothing to plead upon of ourselves, but wilt thou then do it for thy great name's sake. We may lay so the nation of Canada before thee, Prime Minister and all those who surround him. Lord, thou knowest also the way we are going as a nation. Lord, wilt thou stop us, and that we would return to the God of our fathers. Wilt thou work by thy Spirit among us. Give us not over to the foolishness of our hearts, but wilt thou watch over this nation, so the province, and here also in Fort MacLeod, and this area in which we may live. O wilt thou remember in mercy. Be with us in this afternoon. Give a word to speak. Help thy servant to that end. May be thy mouthpiece. May be given to separate the precious from the vile. And wilt thou give him clearness in his mind, clearness in the language, and that it may be to the honor and glory of thy most holy name, and to the salvation of sinners. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us continue with the singing of Psalter 221, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, with cherubim dwelling shine thou from above. In might come and save us, thy people restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. From Psalter 221, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. In the meantime, your offerings will be received.
Thank you.
congregation, we just have sang together from Psalter 221 about that great shepherd, where it says, so beautiful, great shepherd, who leadeth thy people in love, with cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. In might come and save us, thy people restore. Or that was then the desire of the psalmist, oh, that a great shepherd, that he would lead them, because the great shepherd went before them, then they would be safe. When that great shepherd may lead, then they go the safe way. Otherwise it remains so dark. They need that light upon their way. They need that guide upon their way. Is there so also a people here in Fort MacLeod who came up to God's house in this afternoon, does not know the way, and they say, I do not know how to get there. I do not know how it must come right in my life. And when I look to my own way, the way which I must go, in mine eyes, they are so crooked ways. In my eyes, so often I think I'm going the wrong way. But what is now so necessary for you, for me, to be led by that great shepherd? Because perhaps when we think of our own ways, crooked ways, but if we are led by that shepherd, then they are right ways, then they are good ways, because the great shepherd goes before them, then he must say those ways are wise and good. We also see that in Moses' song, and part of that song we would like to consider that in this afternoon. Our text can be found in the portion which we read together, Deuteronomy 32, and then the verses 9 and 10 as our text. That we read as follows, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in a waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, we would like to consider in this evening the Lord and his people. And we'd like to consider that in 3 points. First, the Lord chose his people. Secondly, the Lord found his people. And in the third place, the Lord cared for his people. The Lord and his people. First, the Lord chose his people. We can see that in verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. There we see that portion, that inheritance of Jacob, that was the Lord's. He chose it to have it for his own. They are mine. In our second point, the Lord found his people. You can see that in the first part of verse 10. He found him in a desert land and in a waste, howling wilderness. So he found, and where did he found that people? And then in our third point, the Lord cared for his people. For we read, he led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. May then the Lord lead us into the truth of his word in speaking and in listening. Dear congregation, we have the song of Moses in front of us. We know Moses, children, you know that Moses has more times that he sang. Psalm 90 is also a song of Moses. But in Deuteronomy, we find also a song of Moses. a song what was laid on his lips, or was not that he came up himself with it, but the Lord has guided him in that regard, that he could sing the ways of the Lord. We all know what has taken place. Moses has led this people now for 40 years in the wilderness. Moses, first 40 years, he was there in the palace of Pharaoh. Thought he was one of those princes. He has an, I would say, the future was looking good for him. But he did not want to stay there. Rather to be with the people of Israel, rather to be oppressed than to go with the world, than he has done that good choice. Children, young people, older ones, how is that with you? How is that in our life? Do we know of that choice of Moses? Rather to be than with that people where the world looks down upon, than to have all the pleasures of the world, young and old. The pleasures of the world, one day we have to let them go. The world will disappoint you at the end. The world cannot give you nothing to you. When we come up on our deathbed, then we will stand with empty hands. Now there is a people. Moses also knew about that. There is a happy people. And they may go then into the joy of their Lord. 40 years he was there with Pharaoh. But then 40 years he was in the wilderness with his sheep. He had to learn much there. Oh, then Moses was enabled by the working of the Spirit to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. 40 long years they have gone through that wilderness. And now they have come in the plains of Moab, almost ready to enter into the promised land. Only the Jordan was still in between. Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land. We know that because of his sin. He was not allowed to go into it. He has seen it from far. The Lord has showed him the land of Canaan. But what Moses had seen here at the end of his life, when he was going to sing this song, then he saw, as it were, what would happen to the people of Israel. And our text is one of that portion. What does he now see in that chapter when he sings this song in Deuteronomy 32? Then he may sing of the faithfulness of the Lord. Then he may say how good the Lord was, how the Lord has led them, how faithful he was, and how he step by step has taken that people of Israel by the hand. But when you go through this chapter, then you also see how unfaithful Israel was. Oh, then they have murmured against the ways of the Lord. And they had so often stood up against the ways of the Lord. And so often they had said that they were no to the Lord. They wanted to go even back to Egypt. An unfaithful people. But also in the near future, when they will be brought into Canaan, Moses may see it. Or when they are in Canaan, when the Lord has done that good to them, they will spoil it all. And it comes a time that the Lord has to take them up again out of that land of Canaan, will let them into captivity, into Babylon, into Assyria, because of their sin, because of their unfaithfulness. But what do we also see in this song? That the Lord remains the faithful one, even in spite of all the sin, in spite of all the iniquity of the people of Israel. He remained the faithful one. He will care for them. And it lies in such a rich picture, beloved congregation. Also in the leading which the Lord goes with his people. What does now God's people remain in and from themselves, even after having received grace? You say, will they return back to stand up against the Lord? Will they murmur against the ways of the Lord? Or then the people have to complain about self, they said. Oh, if the Lord was not the faithful one, I would perish. I would have perished long ago. But now the Lord will watch over that people. The Lord and his people. So his eyes are always upon that people. And then we said, now he was singing this song. We read and in Deuteronomy 31 that he says in verse 29, for I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourself and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the works of thy hands. And then Moses spake in the ears of the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. And now we have that beautiful song in front of us where he begins in verse 1, give ear, O ye heaven, and I will speak and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. So what are those words which he may speak? Then he may set, especially in those first three verses, then he may set forth the perfections of the Lord. Who is he now? He is now that faithful God, but he is also the God who cares for that people of Israel, and then he may publish that name of the Lord to them, and he may ascribe greatness to God. And then he may, in verse 4, then he may also begin to glorify in that goodness what the Lord has done to his people. Because then we read in verse 4, he is the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. He is that just God, he is that rock. And then he may glorify in him, or there is that rock upon which he is safe. Then he may glorify in the rock. Are there times, people of the Lord, that you may do that too? Are there times in your life that you also may glorify in that rock, that you may say, he is the rock. Oh, I have experienced that myself. He is the one who cares for me. He is the one upon whom I can trust, may lean upon him. He is the rock. He may even do that also more often in this chapter. So in verse 31 that we read it also, for their rock is not as our rock. So then he may even compare. Now what is God for us? Are there times that you may do that? Oh, their rock, oh, the gods of this world, oh, then they cannot be even compared to my God, my rock. He is the one who cares for me. And we see that so throughout this song. And I said, we see also in this song where Moses may see that they will spoil everything, especially from verse 15 and up. Now we see what is coming to the foreground. But I have to go to the words of the text. And in that text, verse 9, it begins so with that word, for. And when we read that word, for the Lord's portion, it also points back to the text, what is the previous text. Verse 8, when the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance. When he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. And when I said in my first point, the Lord chose his people. He has chosen that people of Israel. When did he choose that people? If I may ask you, children, young people, when had the Lord chosen that people of Israel? You say, perhaps when they were there in Egypt, or maybe when he called Abraham. No, the Lord has chosen that people from eternity. And then later, then in God's providence, when the earth was inhabited more and more, and also according to the number of the children of Israel, or as it were, the Lord has reserved that place where they would live. So there was a place there in Canaan. That was their place. There would they come. It was in God's counsel and providence. And he had his eye in an extraordinary way upon his people. But what needed to take place? There was in that Canaan, there was that extremely wicked nation. We know that. There was a nation who needed to be rooted out. Many thoughts can fill the heart. I will not go into depth into it. But it was a nation that had so sinned away everything. No, the Lord was not arbitrary, just take away that nation. But that nation has fulfilled the measure of sin. And when that measure of sin was fulfilled, then they needed to be taken out. A very serious warning lies in that. Also in the time in which we live, are we not also as a nation? It's Canada, it's the Western world, also sinning that measure of sin, if we're fulfilling that measure of sin, what must we then wait for? What must we expect, dear congregation? How long will the Lord bear us? Will the Lord bear you and me? How many callings have come to this nation, and we will not take heed to it, if we will set that word of God aside? What must we expect? May even come a little closer. Congregation, how often has that word of God also been brought to you, to me? We have that word still in our midst. Many callings come to us. Oh, how many callings have we heard also in the last weeks and months? What does it do with you, with me? Did it bring us upon our knees? Did it also bring us at that low place? Lord, remember me in grace. Let me thy salvation see. Or do we, when we hear those messages come to us, and we shake our heads and we talk about it and we say, oh, and the next day we just continue. Is that you? Is that me? How long will the Lord bear us as a congregation? How long will the Lord bear us as a denomination? Or that we now may take heed also to the callings which come to us. A very serious warning. But now the Lord says in verse 9, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of inheritance. So the Lord's eyes are upon his people. He has loved his people from eternity. And is that not also in the life of grace, people of the Lord? Where did the Lord find you? Where did the Lord think of you? Was that not from all eternity already? Do we not read that in Ephesians 1 verse 5? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And now that people, what he speaks of, that was now the Lord's portion. The Lord says, for the Lord's portion is his people. What is that portion? It was now that inheritance, it was as it were a treasure to the Lord. You say, Israel, that murmuring Israel, is that now a treasure to the Lord? Yes, it was. Oh, the Lord has loved that people. He has cared for that people. We hope to see that in this afternoon. But how is it now also spiritually? Congregation, when the Lord chose his people, and he says, this is now my people, I will treasure this people. When you may receive an inheritance, when you receive a gift, and you may have that, and you get it in your hands, congregation, and there are times that you look at it, and you say, this is now the treasure, what I have received. I love this treasure, that is now my treasure. You treasure also that gift, what is received. And now the Lord says here that of his people, for the Lord's portion is his people. So here the Lord declares his love towards his people. And that is now that eternal love. I have chosen this people for my own, and I will love this people. Say, who is now this people? Think also of this people of Israel, who was Abraham when the Lord has chosen him. Where was Abraham when the Lord called him there out of Ur of the Chaldeans? What was he? Was he serving God? Was he asking for God? Was he upon his knees when the Lord called him? We know from God's word that it was not the case. Because in Joshua 24 we read, for your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in all time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor. And what do we read of them? And they served other gods. You read it also in Deuteronomy 26. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he dwelt, and he went down in Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and became a great nation, great, mighty, and populous. So there the Lord found his people. How is it now spiritual? Why is it that the Lord chose the one and not the other? I think it's not an easy point. So to bring forth still so declared in God's words. And if I ask it to God's people, I ask you, why is it that the Lord has chosen you? Why? You must say, I do not know. Why was it for to such a great wonder to me? Because if the Lord would have dealt with me according to my sin, or then the Lord would have certainly passed me by. But the Lord's eye was upon me. The Lord's portion is his people. The work of grace begins with a wonder. The work of grace will become a greater wonder in the life of that people. The work of grace will end in an eternal wonder. We read in the second part of verse 9, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. We know when the land of Canaan was given to the people of Israel, that was divided by lots. So there was apart for the tribe of Judah, apart for the tribe of Ephraim, tribe of Manasseh. And so everyone received their own lot. And within that lot, they also has small lots, as it were, but were given to the different families. So they received their portion. And so in that way, we may also see how the Lord has now chosen that lot, that's now Israel, that portion, that is that people, what is for me. We read in Jeremiah 10, verse 16, the portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Lord, as it were, he says here, Jacob, you are my lot. You are my treasure. You are mine. It's not a wonder. Can you think of a greater blessing than unto receive that portion to be the Lord's? We read in Psalm 60 in verse 5, the Lord is my portion of mine inheritance and of my cup, and thou maintainest my lot. And then the church says, as well, the Lord is my portion. And now the Lord says here to Jacob, now you are my portion. We know from God's word that the Lord is the owner of the whole earth. Or that the earth is the Lord's, all its fullness. But in that earth, he has a people. He says, those are mine. So that is a particular people. In Psalm 33, verse 12, we read, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. They are Christ's. Do we read in that high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he says in John 17, verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, O Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me. So they were given to him, it says there in the text, that they may be one as we are, so thou hast given them to me. That is a treasure, what I have received. Jacob is a portion, what he has received from the Father. Oh, then they are his, and then he is not ashamed. So to call them their brethren, we'll go to our next point. The Lord found his people. We see that in verse 10, the beginning. And he found him in a desert land and in a waste, howling wilderness, that the Lord found his people. That the Lord has chosen that inheritance, that Israel. And so he has also chosen his own people. From children of wrath, he has made them children of God. The Lord found them not by chance, but his eye was there upon them from all eternity. And I've tried to make that clear in my first point. And why must he have that people? Or when he has chosen that people, there was also in that seed of Abraham, there was also the promised seed. And that must come forth in the fullness of the time. Or then the Messiah would be born out of this people. Therefore they must come, and they must be led through that wilderness, and they must come in that promised land of Canaan. because that seed that must be born. But where did now the Lord found his people? Where was that? We read on in verse 10, he found him in a desert land. You can think of Abraham. Where did the Lord found Abraham? That was there in that Ur of the Chaldeans. Oh, he has led him. Oh, then we also know the history, how Jacob and his sons were brought to Egypt when at the time of famine they had to go to Egypt, and they have sojourned, that they have been there, dwelt there for a number of years. So the Lord has seen them there in that Egypt. The Lord has taken them out of that Egypt, has brought them in the wilderness. And now in our text, when we read, he found him in a desert land, in a waste, howling wilderness. So now that people which was led out of Egypt, was brought there in the wilderness, came there to the Mount Sinai, and there the Lord found that people and came in a covenant with them. So when he also has pronounced also those, given those 10 words, the 10 commandments, but there the Lord came in a covenant with his people. He found his people there in that waste, howling wilderness, and there the Lord has given them that instruction, that the Lord has granted that grace and blessing. When we think of the word found, it gives also a significant meaning in it. When you find something that is lost, otherwise you do not need to find it. So that was a people lost in themselves, but the Lord found them. And what a rich lesson lies in that, dear congregation. Is it not also in the life of grace? Where does the Lord now find his people? People of the Lord, may I ask you, where did the Lord find you? Is it not also in that waste, howling wilderness? Say, I was lost there in that wilderness. I was lost, but now I am found. The Lord's eyes were upon that people, to draw them out of that wilderness, to begin to lead them. So not so the life of grace. By grace they are saved. You read in Ezekiel 16 verse 6, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And so what was lost is found. Samuel Rutherford says in one of his letters, that he says, as it were, the Lord has scooped his jewels from the bottom of hell. Oh, in that waste howling wilderness that he finds his people. Also, what do we then see? That abounding grace, what the Lord has bestowed upon that people. If the Lord did not seek his people, would then the people have found the Lord? Then we must say that it was lost. Isaiah says it in Isaiah 65, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. Waste, howling, wilderness. Is it different also in our time, where the Lord finds his people? Or when we begin to see, or when the Lord opens the eyes, begin to see the danger in which we live. Waste, howling, wilderness. If we think That time there in the wilderness, in the desert, where there are not all animals of prey around that people, or were not also those who always were lurking there from a distance, try to get their lives, to take their lives away, or people who must live and must also go through this wild, this waste howling wilderness. Do you know something of it? But now in that waste howling wilderness, the Lord's eyes has been upon them. The Lord will lead them through that waste howling wilderness. What does it also mean? Waste howling wilderness. So it will mean that is outside of paradise. And we must also go back. It was not a place where mankind was placed in the beginning. Where did the Lord place his people? Young and old, children. And we must say the Lord has placed his people there in paradise. Or that they were in that communion with the Lord. What was that a good place to be? But man sinned everything away. And they were sent away out of paradise. Could not stay there. And as it were, they were sent away into that waste, howling wilderness. We are not created in that waste, howling wilderness. But we are born now there. What is now so necessary to be found by the Lord? Or young and old, you say, but minister, you are now so stressing to us what the Lord does. You are stressing that it is the Lord who has to find me. So what can I actually do to it? And I must say, young and old, go upon your knees. Oh, that other may come really to guilt for you, that we cannot serve the Lord anymore as we ought to do. Or that it may bring us in distress, that it may bring us upon our knees, or we can live so easily with that. Or is it different here? Or that we may come as the one who has no rights anymore, say, Lord, remember me with the favor which thou bearest unto thy people. Visit me with thy salvation. Lord, come down also in my life. Oh, open thou my heart for thy word, and open thy word for my heart. Come then with thy spirit, draw me, and we will run after thee. Waste howling wilderness, a people, so who was not worthy to be looked upon. When we read in Hosea 9, verse 10, and then it says there, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers in the first ripe, as the first ripe in the fig tree at their first time. And that he begins to lead that people, and he will lead them through the wilderness. Oh, to see more of that in our third point. But he will lead them through that wilderness. And at the end, he will also lead them out of that wilderness. Read that in the book of the Song of Solomon, where we read of the great bridegroom, and we see the bride together, and they come out of the wilderness, and we hear that question, who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved, led by that great bridegroom through this wilderness. And at the end, they also will be led out of that wilderness. Oh, what a blessing that is, if thou may lean upon that great bridegroom. He, what because in our own strength, will be lost, people of the Lord, then will be lost. But now to lean upon him. He is the one who begins that work. He is the one who also will finish that work. This morning in Lethbridge we have spoken out of Psalm 45 and on those precious words. When he may see upon him who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when he says, "Thou art fairer than the children of men," or than other bride may sometimes see something, or that great bridegroom of him who may lead that people, "Thou art fairer than he may see that great bridegroom in his office as a great prophet who needs to be instructed by that great prophet, as that priest who needs to be reconciled with the Father through him, as that sacrifice what he brought upon Golgotha, but also one who needs to be led by that king in his kingly office. Congregation, will we not also desire to be led by that great bridegroom? We'd like to consider more of that, how the Lord will care for that people in our last point, but let us sing first from Psalter 180, after stanzas 1, 3, and 4. God saved his people from distress and led them through the wilderness. For stanza 3, the Lord sent forth his mighty word and shouts of victory were heard. And stanza 4, when God his chosen people led, the kings and armies turned and fled. Psalter 180, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. and his people. The Lord chose his people. The Lord found his people. Now in the third place, we would like to consider the Lord cared for his people. You can find out in the last part of our text, verse 10, he led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Therein we see three things coming to the foreground. When you follow the text, you can see it. In the first place, he led him. In the second place, he instructed him. And in the third place, he kept him. Those three points. So he led him about. So then we see how the Lord has led his people. So from place to place. When they were led out of Egypt, we know what has taken place, the congregation, children, youth. Then we know when they were led out of Egypt, they could have been in a few days in Israel, in Canaan. But then the Lord has led them about. Then they had to go a different way. They were led about, that they would not go the way of the Philistines, but they had to go a different way. Many thoughts lies in that already. When the Lord leads his people, they are often, he leads them differently as they think that the way would be. So often they must say, the Lord has led me about. Especially the beginning of life. The life of grace, they can have thoughts. So and so the Lord will lead me. And this will be the way I must go. Can have that in our daily life too, congregation. When we have the beginning of our marriage, for example, we begin life's pathway together. You have so your dreams, you say. So this path we will walk. And go so differently in our life. Led about. But what was now the blessing what these people had? They were led by that pillar of cloud. So they only had to follow that pillar of cloud. That was the way they must go. So it was not their own way, but it was God's way with them. Now you have to follow. And we know during the day it was that pillar of cloud also cared for the people of Israel, that the sun would not burn too much upon that people. And they had to follow that cloud. But also in the night was also as a burning fire, as a burning pillar, enlighten them by night. So led by the Lord. And now we may see they were led not by their own way, not by their own desire, but they were led by the Lord. Let me not think here. So Psalm 25, young and old, was also the desire of the psalmist. Lord, make me know now thy way. Teach me thy way. Or is there also people here in former cloud who has their daily that prayer? Lord, teach me now the way which I should go. May I now go that way in which thou leadest thy people, that I would not go my own way, but that I may follow thee. Even if it is a difficult way, but that it may be thy way. When you think, this people of Israel, oh, then they had to be led through the wilderness. He led them. But so oftentimes they have murmured against the way they had to go. And they were not in agreement with the way they had to go. And they thought, I know a better way to go. To think, So in the life of grace, it's not so often also the case. Or then they think, I know a better way. If the Lord would do, and then we can fill it in our own way. But our own ways will bring us at the wrong place, the congregation. Now to be led by the Lord. And then the Lord's people, sometimes they may look back in their life when they have come at the end of their life and they say, it was thy way, O Lord, and it was thy right way. That was good to be led by thee. You know, maybe you have heard it, dear congregation, but our Reverend Moerkerken is very ill. They think the end is very near. It was not long ago that he had to remember his 50th anniversary in the ministry, and what he spoke of. In that time he spoke, thy servant has wandered as that lost sheep, from Psalm 199, that last verse. And then that, only that question, seek thy servant. And then he had to look back in his life. I was like that wandering sheep. But then to say, now the Lord has led me through this life. Oh, then the end will be sure, dear congregation, to be led by him. And that is now from the beginning to the end. Oh, in all the different standings of life, we may say, I can go through that, but the Lord will lead. And he will bring his people where he wants to have them. When we read this text, and he led him about, we can also read there, and the original word also allows that, he compassed them about. So that is also a rich meaning, what lies in it. So he has taken care, as it were, of that people, compassed them about, as it were his arms were around that people. When he led that people, they were in his. He was leading them and carrying them through the wilderness. We can also see that in one of the Psalms, so clearly comes to the foreground in Psalm 32 verse 7, where David says, thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble, and now listen, thou shalt compass me about with the songs of deliverance. So compass me about, thou shalt be all around me. And then he says also in verse 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Oh, do we not see here, also in this text, Christ as a great shepherd. We began with that Psalm 80, as a great shepherd. Going before that people, going before the people of Israel, he will lead them. They hear his voice and they follow him. What a comfort that is for God's people. And now comes a question to you, to me, dear congregation, who is now leading us, who is leading you in your life? Are we led by this great shepherd? Or do we still live for our own account? It is one of the two. There is no middle way. We are not neutral. It is being led by this great shepherd. It is led by that prince of darkness, by Satan. Or that we may search our life. We see more in the text. We see he did not only lead him about, but he instructed him. So there is a people who need that instruction. Or when the Lord begins to lead the people, brings them on the way, on that path of life, he also will instruct that people. And that is in people who needs that instruction. We read again I had to think of Psalm 32, verse 8, where the Lord speaks, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. So now to be instructed and taught by that great teacher. Therein we see him also in his prophetical office as a prophet, teaching them, instructing them. We see him also in his priestly office, was also the task of a priest to instruct. And what is it now necessary for all of us to be instructed in his word and in his law? Oh, how does the Lord now instruct? He does that from the dear word, what he has given to us. It is that word of God through which he will instruct his people. We read in 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So it is through that word that the Lord will instruct his people. Also today, still that word. Have you received also that love for that word? He say, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Oh, to love that word. Also often may, perhaps it speaks against us still. The Lord has given that love in the heart, or that we may receive his place at that school of grace. Children, if you may have that place in school, it's a great blessing when we may have that instruction from your teachers. Perhaps you receive instruction somewhere else, but to receive instruction also in the biblical truths is necessary. And also when we teach our children at home, we need to do that. Teaching in the biblical instruction, the right doctrine to lay that before them. But what is now so necessary for all of us to receive a place at the school of grace. Here, these people knew of it. He instructed him. They were instructed by the Lord himself. Young and old, do you know also who tries to instruct us? Is Satan. He tries to come with his instructions to us, sometimes very openly, that you say, that is the work of Satan, who tries to drive us away from the Lord. Sometimes very hidden, very, as it were, you hardly see it, but tries to instruct, bring a false doctrine, bring a false word, give a false trust, and drives us away from the truth of God's word. Oh, by whom are we instructed? Now in the third place, we also read, he kept him. And how did he now keep them? We read, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Children, you know what that means. The apple of your eye, as your pupil, that black point in your eye, you must not touch it. And when someone comes close to that point, you will close your eyes. You say, don't touch my eye, that hurts. You cannot do that. It is a very tender spot. So says the Lord, when you come now, when you touch my people, when you wrong my people, that is the same. Now you touch the apple of my eye. How careful will I lead my people? How careful will I also care for my people? I will watch over them. was the desire of the psalmist when he says in Psalm 17 verse 8, keep me as the apple of thine eye and hide me under the shadow of thy wings. If we touch the Lord's people, then we touch also the eye of the Lord himself. Or must we not walk also careful? The Lord also points in this regard how our walk must be, how careful we must be to keep also the institutions of the law, to keep also the way which the Lord has set before us in his words, to keep the law. He said we must keep that as the apple of the eye. Congregation, will you then have also a careful walk on Sundays, during the day, during the week, day by day, knowing that the Lord's eyes are upon us, or that we may walk in his ways, people of the Lord, that also may give you a walk in the fear of the Lord. What do we see here in this text? What do we see? So the faithfulness of the Lord. The Israelites, they have sinned everything away, and still the Lord cared for them. The Israelites had broken that covenant, and the Lord did not cast them away, but restored them in that communion with God again. And people of the Lord, do we not see therein also our own picture? Oh, after having received grace, after the Lord has led you on the way, then we must say, how often did sin come in between again? Sin has made that separation between thee and thy God now worthy to be cast away, but the Lord does not do that, but now still cares for his people. He brings them back. So the Lord has done that. Or then we must say, the Lord must be disappointed in us, also in the way we go, people of the Lord. The Lord will never be disappointed in his people, because he knew who you were from the beginning. He knew also that we are dust. God's people are often disappointed in self, but they cannot disappoint the Lord. But that he may give us a life in the fear of the Lord, we have to close to think. I was preparing this portion, was on verse 12, where we read, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. So the Lord did that. He has led him. He did it alone. Oh, then we are safe under his leading. And if we miss that, dear congregation, then we miss everything. Now it is still the time of grace. Now it is still the days in which we can be converted. Or that we then would not go further in our mad rush to eternity, but that we may come upon our knees, beg the Lord for grace. And people of the Lord, that we may also point also to the future, what is awaiting. So often we think, what must become of it? But we read the future. What Jeremiah says in chapter 31, verse 17, and there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. When we think of the circumstances, the time in which we live, then we so often say, what must become of it? What must become of the congregations here in Southern Alberta? What must become of our denomination? But now to know, It is the Lord alone who leads. It is the Lord also whose eyes are upon His people, also His eyes upon the congregation, that also may be our hope, that our eyes may be directed to Him. Therefore, the future also lies secure in the Lord. Amen. Lord God Almighty, we have come at the close of this afternoon service for this congregation, also the end of the worship services in this day. And wilt thou then bless thy words, and that they may take it along also in the week which lies before us, that it may be given to them to meditate upon thy words, that they may chew the cud with the clean animals. And wilt thou then work by thy grace in their hearts? Wilt thou forgive what was sinful and amiss? And wilt thou bless thy words? And wilt thou give an acknowledging heart that thou hast given a word to speak? Wilt thou keep us safe in the furtherance of this day? When we go home, lead us over these unsafe roads. And wilt thou also be in our midst in this evening, and we still may bring thy word, and wilt thou bless it with eternal blessings. Watch over the congregation here, watch over the consistory, watch over thy servant and his family, and that they may experience thy help and nearness. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll close this service with the singing of Psalter 215, stanzas 2 and 10. Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy way and teach thou me. And also stanza 10, keep my soul, O gracious Savior, come, I pray, deliver me. From Psalter 415, 2 and 10. receive now the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.